Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless the little fool. Me a funny girl, the blessings are in the me a dead, imagine cause I'm talking about the copper and over what to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm dead, so be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. We have been studying having faith in the midst of trouble, and our subtopic for tonight is when you have issues, turn to Jesus. When you have issues, turn to Jesus. We'll be looking at Mark chapter 4, looking at the woman with the issue of blood, and also looking at Psalms 81 and perhaps one other Psalms. Bow your head with me and let us pray. Father, we just bless you. We lift up your holy name. We thank you for another time of fellowship that we're able to study the Word of God together. Truly, Lord, you are wonderful to us, and you give us breath in our body, and Lord, you give us hope in our hearts, and we thank you, Lord, for allowing us the privilege of serving you. We recognize that we cannot make it without you, Lord. Every day that we get up, you give us strength, and you give us the wherewithal to keep going, and we appreciate every breath that we take in our bodies. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be encouraged, to be strengthened, and also to encourage and strengthen someone else. Lord, you are truly wonderful. You are awesome. You are more than enough. And Lord, we thank you on tonight. And I pray, Lord God, for those that are listening, for those that will hear this recording, Lord God, that you would truly bless them, O God. Lord, keep them in the palm of your hands. And Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for people all around the world, for those who are seeking your face, for those who are seeking to know you, God, we thank you for them. And, Father, we bless you right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I thank you so much for joining me again to study the Word of God. As we turn in our Bibles, we're looking at Psalm 81. Psalm 81. I love to read the Psalm, and one of the reasons why I love to read the Psalms is because David was such an ordinary fellow. He loved the Lord with all his heart, but he also had issues. And if you study the life of David, you will see that over and over again, he constantly did things that were wrong. But the funny thing, or actually the good thing about David, is that every time he did the wrong thing, he knew how to turn to God and ask God for some help. He knew where his help came from. Dear friend, I want to encourage you that whatever it is that you are facing in life, that you understand that God is your help. God is your strength. David knew who to turn to, and that is the reason why I love the psalm. The Psalms, the various Psalms, I love them so much because they are so real, and they let us know that it's okay to be a Christian and still have humanity. In other words, we're not above everyone else. We have just made the right choice, and that right choice is to serve Jesus. Psalm 81 says, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel. If thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. Now, before we continue, we need to take note of a few things in these verses. It says, sing aloud unto God our strength. Now, I know that we can find strength in family, we can find strength in friends, and, you know, perhaps some interesting books that encourage us and that speak to our hearts. But isn't it wonderful to know that even when we have no books written by such wonderful authors as Joyce Meyer or T.D. Jakes or the many, many wonderful authors that there are out there in the Christian world, even when we have none of those folks to encourage us, isn't it wonderful to know that God himself will encourage us and God himself will give us strength? And the word of God is truth. We have the word of God to encourage us, to strengthen us, to keep us. And it is so awesome to know that God remembers us and that we can look to him for strength because he is our strength. The Bible says that when we go to God, we should have some kind of instrument to praise him on. And in verse 2, it refers to singing a psalm in your heart. It refers to bringing the timbrel, you know, like a tambourine. It refers to the beautiful harps. In other words, it's okay to praise God with instruments, because I know that there is a particular organization that says that they don't use instruments and that it's not biblical. But I really don't know which Bible that they are reading, because this Bible says that the children of Israel praise God with all types of instruments. They had cymbals and they had the shofar and they had various instruments that they used to praise the Lord. And so it is okay if we use instruments. Verse 3 says, blow on the trumpet in the new moon at the time appointed, because we know that the children of Israel, they celebrated the holidays. They celebrated the, you know, the new year in around September, and they had the day of, you know, Pentecost and, you know, different things that they celebrated. They had various holidays that they had to continuously celebrate each year. And so we see that the Bible makes reference to that, that on those solemn days, don't forget to give God praise. Don't forget to bless him. Don't forget to remember the things that he has done for you. Because the purpose of us having holidays, whether it's Christmas or Easter or what have you, is so that we can never forget the benefits of the Lord, so that we can never forget how good God has been to us. Because isn't it so easy for us to forget how good God is? But when we look at the birth of Christ that is coming up, you know, the celebrations are coming up soon, and when we look at even the resurrection, Easter coming up soon after Christmas, we realize that God has these things to just keep us in remembrance of his goodness and his love for us. The Bible says that these things were for a statute for Israel. In other words, when he gave them their holidays, he gave it to them so that they could have it ever before their mind, to remind them over and over of God's love for them. And when God speaks to us, dear friend, he is reminding us over and over and over again of how much he loves us and how much he cares about us and the fact that he wants us to obey him. The words in the Bible were written for us to read them and to understand that God wants us to obey his voice and he wants us to obey his commandments. Look at verse 5. It says, this he ordained and chose it for a testimony. And so, if you remember, when Joseph went into Egypt, he was sold by his brothers. And then again, he was brought into, after he was sold to the merchants from Midian, then they sold him into Egypt. And he was able to save his entire family because God ordained it so that he should go through what he went through in order to save a whole nation. And so the Bible makes reference back to that, that Joseph, for a testimony, he went through the land of Egypt. You see, God allows us to go through challenges in our lives to give us a testimony. Had Joseph not been sold by his brothers, he would not have had that testimony of going through Egypt and coming out victorious. He would not have had that testimony to be able to say to his brothers, I forgive you. God ordained it that I should come before you into Egypt, and so that the entire nation perish not. Isn't it interesting when we look back over our life, when we look back and look at the things that we have been through, God ordained our steps so that we could actually come through hard times and difficulties and challenges in order that we could get to the place where we are now, where we could say, you know what, had it not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Had it not been for those difficulties that I face, where would I be today? God was molding you and shaping you, friend, for who you have become today. He was molding you and shaping you so that you could have that testimony that you are victorious over the devil. He has given you authority to put the devil under your feet. He has given you authority in the spirit realm so that you could speak and have devils flee, so that you could speak and have demonic forces run from you. I want you to know, dear friend, that God is who he says he is, and he allowed you to go through challenges in your life so that you could stand right now and be victorious, so that you could stand right now and have a testimony that truly God is an awesome God. God is who he says that he is. God is truly wonderful, wonderful. He is truly wonderful. He is our strength, and he is our everything. Verse 6 says, I removed his shoulder from the burden. In other words, even though Joseph was brought into Egypt as a slave, he did not remain a slave because Joseph put his trust in God, and God showed him favor. So, although he was in Egypt, Egypt was not in him, my friend. Although he was in Egypt, Egypt was not in him. Joseph went into Egypt already with favor. And I want you to know that although you might go through some difficult times in your life, that you must endure hardship with the favor of God upon you. When you have the favor of God upon you, it does not matter what Satan brings against you. You will always be victorious because if God is for you, who can be against you? When the mark of God is upon you, wherever you go, people will be able to tell that you are a child of God. People will be able to tell that you are chosen and called by God, because although you are going through the challenges of life like everyone around you, your response to the things will be different. In other words, your attitude will be different. Your speech will be different. Your countenance will be different. Just everything about you will be different, because the mark of God is on you. The favor of God is on you. And when the favor of God is on your life, dear friend, understand this, that whatever you put your hand to will be successful, will prosper, because whom God bless, no man can curse. I want you to understand that, dear friend. Who God blesses, no one can curse. And I want you to know that wherever you are, wherever you go, like Joseph, if you continue to keep your heart right, in other words, continue to praise God, continue to serve Him, continue to ask Jesus to live in your heart and in your life, if you continue to do this, you will see that wherever you are, God will open up doors in front of you, and the favor of God will be upon your life. Because you see, when you have favor with God, God will also make it so that you have favor with man also. Amen and amen. Oh, I just give God praise. Let's just take a moment, dear friend, and praise God. Lord, we thank you right now. We bless you. We honor you, because you are worthy to receive glory, honor, and praise. And I thank you right now. Oh, for blessing right now. I thank you right now for caring about us enough that wherever we go, Lord, you have put your mark upon us. And wherever we go, doors will open in front of us. People will show us favor. People will bless us. Why? Because you have already put your mark upon us, and Lord, whom you bless, no one can curse. And Lord, we thank you for victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. I'm still in Psalm 81, verse 7. It says, "Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder." Isn't that awesome? Thou callest me in trouble. If you have issues, my goodness, all you have to do is call on Jesus. Anything at all you need, dear friend, all you have to do is call on Jesus. The Bible says, thou callest in trouble. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just praised God all the time and didn't just call on him in trouble? Wouldn't it be nice if we just gave God praise every single day of our lives, whether it's a good day or a bad day or an in-between day, whatever it is? You know, I've heard someone say, and I actually agree with this, and I say it myself, that you can never have a bad day. And the reason why you can never have a bad day is because every day when you get up, it's a good day from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. Because from the time that you get up in the morning, you should be blessing God and praising God, dedicating that day to God, and understanding that it is already a good day. From the time that you open up your eyes in the morning, it is already a good day, my friend. Hallelujah. You see, it can never be a bad day when Jesus is in it. Amen. It can never be a bad day when you understand that the moment you put your trust in God, the moment you put your heart and your life in God's hands, that God is already doing great things on your behalf. And if he is already doing great things on your behalf, then it can never be a bad day. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what people say to you, what the doctors say, what the boss says on the job, what negative people say when you talk to them. It doesn't matter what is going on around you. It is a good day. We declare it so, that it is a good day, because God is on your side. And when God is on your side, friend, you can never have a bad day. Hallelujah. Amen. I can never have a bad day if Jesus is in it. You can never have a bad day if Jesus is in it. Now, Can we have negative circumstances that appear or present themselves? Yes, of course. We have negative circumstances that present themselves, including negative people, that will say negative things to us. But how we respond to those negative things makes all the difference in the world. In other words, we can respond by, you know, being negative back to them, and that's a choice that you make. You can respond by getting angry at what they say. You can respond by crying or throwing a fit or whatever. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we look at negative circumstances for what they are? In other words, when we look at the fact that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, he wants to destroy your future, he wants to destroy your dreams, and he wants to destroy your seed. In other words, if you have children, he wants to go after your children. If you have dreams in your heart about what you have always wanted to do, he will come after those dreams in your heart. If you have already made up your mind that you're going to serve God and that God is in control of your destiny and your future and what have you, the enemy will try to sabotage your future and your destiny. So you've got to recognize the plan of the enemy to come against you in all those areas and not allow him to do that. By acknowledging the fact that Jesus is in control of your future and Jesus makes everything all right. And so even if negative circumstances present themselves, do not respond in a negative way. Find a place where you can pray. Find a place where you can seek the face of the Lord and ask God, whether it's a quick prayer on the spot, and then later on when you get to your house or a secret place, you can spend more time in prayer. But whatever it takes to hold your peace and to not respond, find a way to do that so that God can have time to deal with your heart and deal with your mind so that you will not respond to negative things with negative things. Because it is not God's will for us to make war. It is God's will for us to make peace with our neighbors. We are called to be peacemakers. We are called to encourage and to strengthen others. And I know it's very easy to, you know, light a fire under folks who light a fire towards us, but it is much better for us to hold our peace and let the Lord fight our battles. Give God some praise. God is worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. He can and he will fight your battles for you. And I'm not in any way implying that every day is a battlefield in the sense of Christians are just going to struggle, because, you know, every day is not a struggle, but there are going to be days when we have challenges. And when those days present themselves, you have to be ready. You have to be fortified. You have to be willing to understand that God has already fought that battle for you, and that if you would just begin to praise him and begin to magnify his holy name, that God has already taken care of everything that you have need of. It says, I answered thee in the secret place of thunder, in verse 7. I proved thee at the water of Meribah. In other words, when the children of Israel were walking around in the wilderness, and they needed fresh water, and they needed God to open up a way for them to be able to drink fresh water and what have you in the wilderness. God remembered them, and he gave them fresh water. Dear friend, God can give you fresh water. It does not matter how dry the land seems, how dry situations around you might become. God is able to give you fresh water. He can give you wells of water springing up in your soul. Look at verse 8. It says, "Hear, O Israel, I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me." You see, God can testify. He can tell you who he is. He can tell you about the good things and how he can take care of you and how he can bless you and how he can strengthen you if you allow him to do so. You see, everything depends on whether we will allow God to come in or not, whether we will allow him to strengthen us or not. God is not going to force himself on anyone that does not want him in their life and in their heart. Look at verse 9. "There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God." Don't worship anything strange, but acknowledge that God is truly your Lord. Look at verse 10. "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." Do you have words of wisdom to encourage someone? Do you understand that if you would just begin to praise God, God will fill your mouth with even more praise? If you want to encourage and strengthen someone, pray and say, "God, fill my mouth. Speak to me. Tell me what to say to a sinner that needs to be saved. Tell me what to say to those that need help." Dear friend, God is there to help you. He is there to encourage and to strengthen you. And he can use you for his glory and his honor. Somebody needs to hear your voice. Somebody needs encouragement. Somebody needs a word. Open up your mouth and tell other people about Jesus. Go out and tell someone that Jesus loves them, because Jesus truly loves the children of the world. He loves mothers and fathers. He loves sisters and brothers. He loves families, and he wants to restore families. Let him do that with your family. Look at verse 11. "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts, lust, and they walked in their own counsels." You see, dear friend, when God speaks to our hearts, we need to listen. And many times, the children of Israel did not listen. And when people don't listen to the voice of God, he turns them over to their own lusts and their own heart's desire. And many, many times he has done that. Dear friend, let that not happen to you. If you know that God is calling you, respond. Listen to the voice of God. Let him lead you. Let him direct you, because truly he wants for you to serve him, and he wants for you to be encouraged and to be strengthened. Look at verse 13. "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries." Look at this. Now, if you have never, ever noticed that God would fight your battles for you, look at this. It says, "I should, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies." Now, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to me? Dear friend, he is saying that if we would listen to God and do what he tells us to do, we wouldn't have to worry about fighting any enemies, because God would take care of them for us. He would handle people that would come against us and circumstances that would come against us. God would handle it for us if we would just turn it over to him. If we would just put our trust in him, he would handle our battles for us, and we would never have to lift a finger. All we have to do is go into prayer. Go to God in prayer, and God says that he will handle it for us. Amen. Look at verse 15. "The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever." And you thought that the word haters just came about recently. Apparently, it was already in the Bible. The Bible says the haters of the Lord. So all the young people who thought they came up with that word, they did not come up with that word. Haters is already in the Bible. The Bible says the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. So if those haters would just surrender themselves to God, the Bible says that great things would happen. He would help those same people to be able to endure forever. How can they endure forever? Because our souls, dear friend, lives on forever and ever. Look at verse 16. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Wow. If we would serve the Lord with all our hearts, if we would do what God is calling us to do, he says he would feed us with the finest of the wheat. Now, I hear a lot of folks saying that they don't want to hear anyone talk about people getting rich and people having lots of money. They are tired of hearing people preach about prosperity. But over and over and over again, the Bible talks about being prosperous. The Bible talks about having wealth, and the Bible talks about having the best. The Bible says he would feed you with the finest of the wheat. That does not sound like a broke person to me. It sounds like what God is saying to us is that everything that we have need of, he will supply it. Whether it be money, whether it be land, whether it be food, the finest of the wheat does not mean that those people are going to be broke. The finest of the wheat means that God is going to give them enough to harvest. And when you have enough to harvest, that means that when you go to sell it, you're going to have lots of money. And so God is trying to tell us that if we would just surrender our lives to him and do what we have to do, everything that we have need of, he will supply it, dear friend. He says, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Amen. If you are a harvester of honey, you will find that honey is something that people all over the world will buy. They will pay for good honey. Even a little bottle might be a little expensive, but people will pay for good honey. When God says that he will satisfy us with honey, he's saying he is going to give us something really, really good. Dear friend, if you want to live a good life and to have everything that you need, surrender your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is able to help you. And dear friend, if you have already surrendered your life to him, then please go out and tell someone else about Jesus and encourage them also to surrender their lives, because God wants us to have a good life. He wants us to have a blessed life. And I want you to know that God loves you very, very, very much, and he wants you to serve him, and it is not his desire that you should be struggling from day to day, not having enough for whatever you need, but he said that he would give you the finest of the wheat. That means that he wants you to have enough food to eat, enough clothes to wear, and a place to live. He wants you to have all your necessities met. And so put your trust in the Lord, because God is able to meet every need that you have. Turn with me again to Mark chapter 4, beginning at the 25th verse. Mark chapter 4, beginning at the 25th verse. The Bible says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touches me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Now, that is an awesome thing for Jesus to be walking through multitudes, a great deal of people, and for this woman to have come up behind him and touched him, and for her to be immediately whole. But you see, that wasn't the entire story. You have to look at the beginning of the story. The beginning of the story is that the lady had been sick for 12 long years. The lady had spent all that she could going from doctor to doctor to doctor, from one physician to the next. She had tried everything that she could to be healed, to be delivered, but could not be delivered. My friend, I want you to know that it does not matter what your issue is. It does not matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter how long you have been in that situation. I want you to understand that God is able to deliver you. God is able to set you free. God is able to help you right now. He is able to put your feet on higher ground. This lady had been living in this situation for so long. What made it so bad is that during this time, if you had a sickness, especially if it had to do with blood, with bleeding, she was considered unclean and had to live outside the city like a leper. She had to live apart from regular society because her bleeding made her unclean. And so this woman had to live with the stigma of being unclean. Now, can you imagine she lived in a state of pain similar to Jabez when his mother named him pain? This woman lived in pain and shame because of the fact that she knew that she was unclean. Imagine being unclean for 12 years. Now, this is something that was just dropped in my spirit that I've never even spoken on before. But guess what? For 12 years, that means that technically not even her husband could touch her. If this woman was married, not even her husband could touch her because she was considered unclean. Can you imagine that if this woman was married, even for 12 years, she could not do anything with her own husband because of the fact that she was unclean? Unclean to her husband, unclean to her children, unclean to her family. For 12 years, she lived with the pain of knowing that no one could really associate much with her because she had to live outside of society because of her unclean status. And after all of that, she was courageous enough to go through the people to get to the master himself, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus Christ who is King of Kings. She pressed through the people, no doubt covering up her head, no doubt covering up her face, because she didn't want people to recognize that she was already stigmatized and that she was unclean and that she wasn't even supposed to be around them because of this problem that she had. Friend, I don't know what your problem is. I don't know whether people are looking at you sideways when you talk to them. I don't know whether you feel as if there's a stigma on you because you have been outside of society for so long and people are looking at you funny and treating you funny. I don't know what your issue is, but I want you to understand that it doesn't matter how long you have been suffering. It doesn't matter how long you have been going through. I want you to understand this, that God understands your pain. God understands what you're going through. And just like the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus is able to heal you. Jesus is able to set you free. Jesus is able to help you because there is nothing in your life that is too hard for God. Jesus just like he was able to heal this woman with the issue of blood. He didn't even see her. He didn't even personally touch her. She touched him. She touched his clothing. I want you to know, dear friend, that if you would just stretch your hands out towards Jesus, if you would just begin to cry out to Jesus, if you would just begin to call on him, if you would just begin to cry out to him and say, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, I need your help right now. Jesus, I need your touch right now. I've been down long enough. I've been sick long enough. I've been discouraged long enough. I've been outside of society long enough. I have been outside of my realm of supernatural authority long enough. I have been without the proper anointing long enough. Lord, I need your anointing. I need a breakthrough in my heart. I need a breakthrough in my life. And Lord, I need it right now. Right now. Lord, I need it right now. Not yesterday. Not next year. Lord, I need your touch right now. Not tomorrow, Lord, right now. I need you right now. I don't know if you have ever been in that situation where you had just a burning desire in your soul for God, where you realize that you need him right now. Oh, you can't wait another day, another hour, another minute, but you need God right now. Dear friend, this woman with the issue of blood, she was in a desperate situation, and she realized that she could not wait another moment. She couldn't wait until Jesus got to where he was going so she could stand around and wait for him to make an altar call. She couldn't wait for an altar call. She couldn't wait till she got to church or to the synagogue. She could not wait another moment. She needed God right now. She needed a touch right now. Friend, I don't know what your circumstance is right now. I don't know what you've been going through, but I want you to know that you cannot wait another moment to pray. You cannot wait another moment to call on Jesus. Now is the time to call on him. Now is the time to allow him to strengthen you. Now is the time to allow him to be Lord of your life and to say, God, I just need your touch. I just need your anointing. I just need a breakthrough right now in my life. I need you to break generational curses off of me. I need you to break some strongholds off of me. Lord, I need your touch right now. The Bible says that when this woman pushed her way through the crowd, the Bible says all she did, she went and she touched the hem of his garment. You see, the rabbis, the teachers, they wore like a shawl on them over their inner clothing. They wore like an outer clothing, and she bent down and she touched that piece of clothing, and the Bible says that immediately virtue went out of Jesus. He knew that somebody had received something, and he immediately looked around and said, "Who touched me?" You see, many times I've preached and I've prayed for people, and I could tell that virtue was leaving me, because as I prayed for people and they fell out in the spirit, I knew that somebody was being delivered and somebody was being set free. Jesus knew that this woman touched him, and he turned around looking to see who had been delivered, who had been healed, because he knew somebody had received something from him. I want you to know, dear friend, that God knows every time you receive something from him. He knows every time that you cry out to him. He's waiting on you right now to say, Lord, I've been in this place long enough. I've been in this situation long enough. You know, whether you're an evangelist that just needs a refreshing, or you're a pastor that needs renewed strength, or you're a missionary that needs renewed strength, or you have not yet surrendered your heart to Jesus, and you just need to surrender your heart to Jesus right now. Whatever your situation is, whether you're a person who needs healing, you know, you have been walking around with this illness for a long time, and the doctors are just not giving you any good news. Whatever your situation is, if you need a touch from God, He is able to touch you right now. If you need to be strengthened, God is able to strengthen you right now. If you need Him to just pour oil on your head, He can do it right now. I want you to know that when the prophets of God, when they came to anoint the king, or, you know, to call people, they poured oil on their head. And, you know, some churches use oil today and some churches don't. You know, I'm one of those preachers. I use oil. I like to anoint people and pray for them, you know. But whether you use oil or not, not everyone uses oil, but we have the oil of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said that He would not leave us comfortless, but He said that I will pray and I will send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. He said that He would not leave us comfortless. Dear friend, let God touch you today. Be like that woman with the issue of blood. She knew that she needed some help. She knew that she could not continue on the way that she was. And she pressed her way through that crowd, and she touched the hem of His garment. I want you to know that Jesus is waiting for you to touch the hem of His garment. He's waiting to strengthen you. He's waiting to renew you. He's waiting to give you fresh water, fresh anointing. Verse 34, it says, "And He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Dear friend, do you have faith? Do you understand that if you want to be made whole, you just need to have faith in God? If you want your strength to be renewed, you just need to have faith in God. If you need anointing, you just need to have faith in God. If you need a breakthrough, you just need to have faith in God. You see, if you have faith in God, faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, "Be thou removed," and it shall be done unto you. It shall be done, dear friend. You just need to have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. God is calling you to have faith in Him. Vito Rallo, he wrote a book called Breaking Generational Curses and Pulling Down Strongholds. And he said in his book, when there is a stronghold in a person's life, that person is also being held in slavery. They are in bondage to that habit or circumstance that has them under its control. Webster's dictionary defines bondage as subjection to some force or influence. Subjection to some force or influence. I want you to know, dear friend, that God does not want you to be in subjection to any force or influence. That is not God. God wants you to be in total subjection to Him. And so in order for you to allow God to touch you, you know, sometimes you have to sit and just do a personal evaluation. And Mr. Rallo gave you 7 things in his book. It says, number 1, be completely honest with yourself and with God. Number 2, truly desire to be set free. Number 3, know you are changed by the power of God's love. Number 4, humbly submit to God. Number 5, confess all known sins, including stubbornness and rebellion. Number 6, renounce any involvement in any area that may be a stronghold of bondage or error. And number 7, know you have a free will, and with God's help, you can begin to make the right choices. My friend, God wants to anoint you. He wants to set you free. He wants to use you for His glory and His honor. And I want you to know that you too can allow God to have free reign in your life, like the woman with the issue of blood. She touched the hem of Jesus, and immediately she was made whole. Dear friend, do you want to be made whole today? Allow God to heal you emotionally, physically, financially. Allow God to restore relationships in your life. Allow God to do what he wants to do in your life. I want you to know that God has great things in store for you. Your future is a good one. You will be successful. You will be prosperous. God has everything in your life under control. And I want you to know, dear friend, that if you put your trust in God, you will see that everything in your life will turn out well. God has already given you favor. He has already opened doors in front of you. You just need to have faith in God and allow God to direct your steps. Our theme scripture is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Dear friend, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Now is the time to serve God. We are living in the last days. Jesus is coming again soon and very soon. Today is that acceptable day. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. I want you to know that God loves you. He cares about you very much. And our closing thoughts, our persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There's no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. Bow your head with me and let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We bless your name, Lord, for allowing us to be able to study together again tonight. Lord, I thank you for all those, Lord, that are planning on coming home to you, that are planning on serving you. And I thank you, Lord, for all those that have been good stewards of the talents that you have given them, God, that are using their talents to sing and to preach and to teach the gospel. I thank you for those that are just good listeners, those that are visiting the widows and visiting those that are sick and shut in. Lord, we pray for those around the world, Lord God, in countries north, south, east, and west, and Lord God, down in Antarctica and in the North Pole and different places, oh God, some places that I might never get to go to, but Lord, I can still pray for them. I pray, oh God, for nations everywhere and rulers of those nations, God, that you would give them knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Remember our president, oh God, and his wife and their children, oh God. Lord, we pray that you would bless them, oh God. Keep them in the palm of your hands. Lord God, I pray, oh God, for one that would pray with me tonight to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Forgive them of their sins, God. Save them, I pray. And Lord God, assure them in their hearts that they have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, we thank you right now for healing those that are sick. Heal bodies and minds right now, oh God. And Lord God, we thank you for that one, God, that is receiving your touch right now, that one that is being delivered right now, that one that is accepting the call of God to preach the gospel right now, accepting the call of God to be an encourager right now, oh God, to strengthen others right now. Lord God, as you speak to us, God, we speak to others. And God, help us to encourage others, even when we don't feel like it, oh God. Help us to encourage others. And Lord, I thank you right now for this privilege, oh God, to be able to preach and teach the gospel. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you would touch your daughters and your sons everywhere. And Lord, we thank you for this time of fellowship. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, dear friend. I thank you for studying with me, and I pray that you will be blessed. I pray that your family will be blessed, and I pray that the peace of God will be with you both now and forevermore. Stay with me for a few more minutes as I play to you a song that I began in another lesson. It is called Coming Home.
I've come.
Another time, I pray that you would remember how much God loves you, how much He cares about your family, and I pray that you would understand that He wants you to be blessed. God bless you, and have a good night.
Mr. Summer, we bless you with food. Me and Franny got the blessings already done. Me and David, the head. Imagine cause I'm traffic, I'm a cup around over what to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed.
Hey, Robert. I'm too anointed. Let me preach. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right.